check. There we go. Can you bring down the white microphone monitor one, please? I'm hearing way too much of myself. Oh, that was a bad decision. Is it gone? Okay. Ouch. That was right in my ears. Yeah. Ouch, ouch. Okay. Well, I have a little treat for you right now. For those of you who are visiting with us, we have a young lady named Michelle who has been on a journey for the last month. She started June 1st, and she is walking around the circumference of New Brunswick, around our province. She is carrying a cross on her shoulder, a great big 9 foot, I don't know how long, how high, but it's pretty big. Big cross with a wheel on the back and the wheel on the bottom, and she's dragging it all over New Brunswick as a prayer walk around our nation. She feels that God has called her to do this, and it's just really exciting to hear some of the stories of what God is doing along the way. She's having every day multiple opportunities to talk to people about Jesus, and she has seen multiple people, many people, make a decision to follow Jesus because of her conversations. I mean, God's just doing really cool things through this. But I believe it's not just about her or just about who she's talking to, but it's stirring up something. It's part of God's bigger picture for what he wants to do in our province. So we are going to have a live phone interview right now with Michelle, if I can get a hold of her. Yeah.
Please stay on the line while your call is completed. Long distance charges may apply.
Hi, just one second, please, Pastor. My dad is calling on the other line. I'm just going to let him go, okay?
Okay.
Dad? Yes, I see your number, Dad. Okay, I'll call you back soon. I love you. Okay, bye, Dad. Okay, sorry about that.
No problem. Check, check. No, it's not. We are here, a whole bunch of us, at Evangel Church. Thank you. And everybody say hi, Michelle.
Hi, guys. Nice to hear your voices.
Yeah. Well, we have been praying for you for the last month and hearing little bits of your story trickle back to us. But first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I can't complain, that's for sure.
Good, good. Can you guys hear? Can you hear that? A little more on the white mic there. Good. So how are your feet, somebody asked.
My feet.
There we go.
My feet are doing good. I had a lot of blisters for the first little bit, but now they're finally starting to heal and my toes are callusing. So
yeah.
This is good. This is good news.
Good, yes. So, you have been, some of our people have been following you on Facebook and hearing little bits of the story of what's been happening, but you've been having many, many opportunities to share about Jesus with people that you've encountered, right?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy just to see how the Lord is drawing people to the cross and making them open to hear the message. It surprises me.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting that kind of a reception, actually.
Is there one story that would stand out that you could tell us this morning quickly?
Yeah, the one that came to my mind immediately was when I was coming into St. Quentin from Kedgwick. As I was walking up to St. Quentin, I had kind of like a heavy feeling, like an oppressive feeling on me. I didn't think I was going to be well received in St. Quentin because there's a heavy religious spirit there. So I was praying and asking the Lord to open doors for me. And as every community I get to, I stop at the community sign that marks like I'm entering into that community, and I pray over the sign. I pray for the community. And as I was praying for that community, as soon as I finished the prayer, it was just one vehicle after another vehicle after another vehicle after another vehicle. I think it was one of the best receptions I received. And this 12-year-old girl came to me on a bicycle, and she asked me what I was doing, and I was able to talk to her about the message of the cross, like why Jesus died for her on the cross. And I told it to her straight. You know, I didn't pat it down because she was a kid. And I wasn't sure what to expect while I was talking to her. When I finished speaking to her, she said, "Cool." And then she said, "Would you like to come with me to the skate park and tell all this to my friends?" And I was like, wow, like I really was not expecting that from this little girl, you know.
Yeah.
So she took me to the skate park. I followed her there, and there was about 12 kids there from the age of 6 to maybe 14. And they were so gracious to me. I felt like I was talking to children from like the 1950s or something, because I went to sit on this little bar, a little round, uncomfortable bar. And they said, "No, madame, no, like, come sit here on this more comfortable thing," you know, that just blew my mind, the graciousness of these kids. And I went to sit there, and they all circled around me in a semicircle, and I told them about the gospel and about the Bible and about sin. And one girl was quite affluent when it came to spiritual reality, so because she came from a native background, and I was able to talk to them about spiritual reality even a little bit. And the kids were so receptive. They were like sponges. They just took everything in.
Yeah.
It was a real blessing to me, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It made me think of the scripture, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you."
Yeah.
And that seems to be the truth of this, like the doors that God opens.
And we know he is going ahead of you. He's been providing every step of the way.
Oh, yes, more than I could have asked, thought, or imagined.
yeah. So, and on Friday, you had you were invited to thrown together gathering to share your story in Edmundston. How did that go?
That went well. There were a few people that showed up.
Yeah.
And I don't know who was from what, like if it, who was from the churches, the local churches, because many churches were invited. And then also they had put it up on the radio, so the public was invited. Plus there were posters and Facebook stuff. I wasn't really involved in organizing it. I just kind of showed up.
Yeah.
Like, hello, I'm here.
Yeah.
And spoke. I spoke from my heart to the best of my ability.
Yes.
And it seemed like quite a few people had given their hearts to the Lord. There were other people there praying with people, and they had told me that quite a few people had given their hearts to the Lord, and I was able to pray. What really blessed me was that when I was passing through St. Leonard, the Lord gave me grace there, and I was able to speak to four Catholic people involved heavily in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And I explained to them in the book of Acts how we need the Holy Spirit to baptize us, to give us the power of the Holy Spirit. And they allowed for me to pray with them to receive the Holy Spirit. And those four Catholic people came to that outreach on Friday, and they all came up to the stage to receive the Lord.
Wow.
So that was a real, to me, that was a real encouragement. Like, that was the highlight, because there is no Christian church in St. Leonard. And all those areas, it's all Catholic dominated. I'm not trying to speak out about Catholic. I'm not trying to condemn Catholics, but there's no spirit-filled churches there.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the Lord was showing me that he was beginning a work in those areas, that he was beginning something. He was grounding people in the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful. So today, Michelle, because it's Canada Day, we're praying for our nation and praying for our province and believing God for what He wants to do here. And we believe that what you're doing is breaking up spiritual ground to help us make progress spiritually and to help our province, just shifting the spiritual atmosphere of our province. So we are praying with you. We're praying for you. Is there one thing that you would ask us to pray specifically in the days ahead as you continue your journey?
I want to remain faithful. I just want to stay focused on Jesus. So I would just ask that you would pray for my protection in my mind, that I would be sober-minded and vigilant, and I would keep my eyes focused on Jesus.
Amen. Well, that's a good prayer. We're going to pray for you right now. If you guys want to symbolically maybe just extend a hand towards my phone, and we're going to pray for Michelle. God, we thank you for Michelle. We thank you for her heart for you. We thank you, God, that she has stepped out in obedience and faith to do what she knows you have called her to do. We believe, God, that this is a part of the puzzle, part of the picture of what you are doing in New Brunswick. God, you have not forgotten this province. Economically, people might call our province a have-not province, but Lord, we declare that we have you, and you are better than anything. And so, Father, we just pray a blessing on Michelle. I thank you that her humble prayer is simply to say, Lord, keep me faithful and keep me focused. So, God, we pray that for her today. We pray that you would surround her with your peace, your strength, that you would keep her focused on what you've called her to do, that she would not be discouraged, that God, every day when she has an opportunity to share your love with people that she meets, that God, you would move by the power of your Spirit and supernatural things would happen. We pray for healings. We pray for miracles. We pray, Lord, for supernatural provision. We pray, God, that you would do what only you can do. We just surround Michelle. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would commission warring angels to protect her, to surround her, to go with her, ministering angels to encourage her, to give her hope and strength. And Father, we just pray that you continue to walk with her as on her journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Michelle,
thank
for
you.
Taking time to talk with us today. And tell your dad sorry we stole you away from him.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, God bless. And
God bless you.
Everybody say bye, Michelle.
Bye.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.
All right. Well, that was cool. Was that the sermon? Nice try, though. Nice try. Okay, so I felt that was appropriate for us today. I believe the Lord gave me a message just about our nation and about the revival He wants to bring in our nation. And so, are you ready? Good. Okay, so last week, I was disturbed by a leadership conversation that I had, that I was part of. Some of you may not know this, but we are a part of a family of churches across Canada called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Our movement was started 99 years ago in 1919. Who was there? No? Okay. And it's grown to become the largest evangelical organization in Canada. It was started by leaders It was stated this week, last week, in this conversation, that leaders in our, by leaders in our movement, that the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was begun, it was started as a revival movement, but that that is no longer the case. That those words really kind of stuck out at me and kind of stung. That it was started as a revival movement, but that that is no longer the case. Why? Because in the last 40 years, though we have become the largest evangelical organization in Canada, in the last 40 years, our growth as a nation, we have 1,100 churches across Canada, and it's been 1,100 churches, give or take, for the last 30 years or so. Our growth has stagnated. The number of people being receiving Christ has dropped down. Like the number of new salvations each year has gone less. The number of people being filled with the Spirit has been declining. Other organizations are planting more churches, reaching more people. And it's not about a competition. It's not like, you know, hey, they're getting ahead of us. I mean, we celebrate everyone who comes to Christ. We celebrate every church planting movement. But it's a stern look in the mirror to say our movement is stagnating. It's no longer the revival movement that it once was. And that is a problem. What? And some of you here might be saying, okay, Pastor, what? Hold on. What is revival? What are you talking about? What is revival? Revival, to revive, to means to bring new life, to re-invigor, to re-liven something, right? And so what was tired and old and worn out and weak and dead has come back to life. That's a revival. And this movement was started among people who were in that were in mainline churches, and their walk with Jesus had become stagnant and tired and old, and when the Spirit began to be poured out across Canada, a movement happened that brought new life to people's faith. And that has happened in waves over the last 100 years. God has poured out His Spirit in fresh waves every so often, and the church has been strengthened and encouraged and reinvigorated, and new life has come, and more people have been reached with the gospel. The church in Ephesus. In Acts 19, you can read, we're not going to do it this morning, but you can read of the story of what happened in Ephesus, where Paul went to that town and he found 12 people who were followers of Jesus, but they had not been filled with the power of the Spirit. And so he prayed over these 12 men, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues. And the Spirit began a work in Ephesus. It was a large city. For that time in history, it was a huge city. It was about 300,000 people. In that time in history, when there was maybe 100 million people on the whole planet, 300,000 people in a city was pretty big. Okay? It was a big city. The Holy Spirit started doing a work in Ephesus that spread, it said, through the entire region, province of Asia. It's not what we think of today as Asia, the continent, but a big part of what is today Turkey was, there was a massive revival, and God brought thousands and thousands of people to know Jesus in that region because of what God did in Ephesus. It was a revival. That was in about 60 AD. In 100 AD, when John the Apostle was 90 years old and was writing a letter that was sent through him from Jesus to the church in Ephesus, and he writes and he says you have lost your first love. He says, I know all the things you're doing, and he lists, you know, you're doing some really great things, but I have this against you. You have lost your first love. A church that started in revival, in an outpouring of the Spirit like no one had seen yet on the planet, 40 years later, had lost their first love. They needed revival, right? And I don't know the whole story of Ephesus through the years, but I know that today Ephesus is, the city of Ephesus was destroyed years ago. It's just ruins. And there's another town that was built on the site of the city of Ephesus. And that great flagship church that was there is no longer there. It's not there. It's gone. Now, I have a friend who is a missionary in Turkey, and he planted a church there 15 years ago. The site of Ephesus, and God is doing a new thing in Ephesus. He's doing a new thing there. But folks, if we don't maintain revival in our hearts, we will grow cold. Our faith will become irrelevant and it will die, right? Our nation is a nation in need of revival. Today, as we pray for our nation, we recognize that our nation needs a revival to sweep across Canada. We need a move of the Spirit that brings thousands upon thousands of people to a knowledge of Christ and transforms our nation. We can improve our education system. We can spend money on infrastructure. We can generate more employment. But without Jesus, depression and suicide will still be on the rise. And homes will still be ripped apart by divorce. And drug addiction and alcohol will still continue to claim too many souls in our nation. We need an outpouring of the Spirit of God across our nation. God has had a plan for our nation from before it was actually a nation. I want to talk just for a couple moments about the history of Canada's prophetic importance. God loves Canada. He has had a plan for this nation. Leif Erikson was the first European that we know of that landed in North America in 1004 AD. He was a Viking, came searching on an adventure, you know, exploring, and he landed on the shores of Newfoundland in 1004. But in 1003, Leif Erikson had given his heart to Jesus, become a follower of Christ. And there is evidence that he and his men shared Christ with the people in Newfoundland, because they have found an Inuit carving of a Norseman carrying a cross. Jacques Cartier, upon founding Montreal, wrote this in his journal. We all knelt down, raised our hands, and yielded our thanks to God. Cartier had come, had many come to him, and he prayed for their healing, and Jacques Cartier saw people healed in the first settlements where he lived. Yet people came to Christ and were healed through his life and his prayers. He wrote in a letter to France, "We who are unworthy exercise on earth the power of the Lord and seek with all our might to bring those sheep of his flock who are outside into the fold committed to our charge. Consider, however, that the Indians," that's what they called them then, First Nations, "are truly men, and they are not capable of understanding." Indians, consider, however, that the Indians are truly men, and they are not only capable of understanding the faith, but according to our information, they desire exceedingly to receive it. That's Jacques Cartier. Samuel de Champlain, another first Canadian explorer, had a beautiful and respectful relationship with Canada's First Nations people. He was legendary for his kindness and his good relationship with First Nations. In his diary, he wrote, "They are living without God and without religion. I thereupon concluded in my private judgment that I should be committing a great sin if I did not make it my business to devise some means of bringing them to the knowledge of God." Count Frontenac, governor of New France, 1600s, declared, "As for me, I shall esteem myself happy in consecrating all my efforts, and if need be, my life itself, to extending the empire of Jesus Christ throughout this land." In the War of 1812, when the United States attempted to annex Canada into its lands, it was still a British territory, and by the way, we kicked their butts, but anyways, right? But as United States attempted to annex Canada as part of the United States, there was a prophecy given, and I don't have the details here, but if you want them, I can dig deeper. I tried to find them quickly last night, but I couldn't, but I can get them to you. We were at a conference last year where this was shared, that that a prophecy was given that Canada would not become part of the United States because God had set apart Canada for his end time purposes. Sir Samuel Tilley, anybody know who he is? He's the first premier of New Brunswick, so you should know. I didn't know. page. Where did it go? 120. Sir Samuel Tilley wrote this: "When the Fathers of Confederation were assembled discussing the terms and conditions of Confederation and drafting of the British North America Act, there had been considerable discussion the day before and many suggestions as to what the new United Canada should be called. And no conclusions had been reached. The discussion on the name stood over until the next day. The next morning, as was Sir Leonard's custom, he read a chapter from the Bible, and that particular morning he read Psalm 72. When reading verse 8 of the Psalm, 'He shall have dominion also from sea to sea,' the thought occurred to him, what a splendid name to give Canada. When he went back to the sitting of the convention that morning, he suggested the word Dominion, which was agreed to, and Canada was called the Dominion of Canada. So in the very beginnings and foundings of our nation, there are so many seeds of God's work in the hearts of the leaders who led, of the people who started our nation. Over the last 20 years, there have been a significant number of prophecies concerning Canada and Canada's purpose in the last days. And I'm gonna summarize. I brought a couple to read and stuff, but we're running out of time. So I'm gonna summarize some stuff. David Yonggi Cho, who pastors the church in South Korea that is over 1 million people in one church. He has been here a number of times in Canada, and each time has spoken prophetic words over the end time destiny of our nation. Patricia King, Cindy Jacobs, Chuck Pierce, James Gall, Bobby Connor, Bob Jones, Tim Sheets, Kenneth Copeland. There are many people who have spoken in the, if you're familiar at all with people who function in prophetic, have spoken over our nation. One thing, Canada's flag is the only one with a leaf that is central to it. And it's been spoken that like the leaves of the tree of life that bring healing to the nations in the book of Revelation, Canada will be a nation that will be used by God to bring healing and peace to the nations. Canada will be here's how good God is. Back in the 70s, multiculturalism became official Canadian policy. Right? Pierre Elliott Trudeau led our nation at the time. Multiculturalism became our national policy. Whatever you might think of Pierre Elliott Trudeau or his son or the Liberal Party or any of that, how many know God is on the throne no matter who's in the prime minister's seat? And God set Canada up in the 70s for his last day's purposes. And there have been people streaming in from every nation of the world since that time and before. And one of the things that has been stated over our nation is that God is going to, there's going to be a revival that will sweep our nation, that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation in Canada will come to know Christ, and that they will take the message of the gospel back to their homes, that Canada will be a launching off point for the last day pouring out of the Spirit that is on its way. And over and over, prophetic words over Canada have been, wake up, church. Wake up, church. There is a sleeping giant in Canada that is the Church of Jesus Christ. Revival will not come from politics. In my opinion, the mistake of our neighbors to the south is to tie the church to politics and try to force some kind of political change that will usher in a revival of the nation. Donald Trump is not the answer to America's problems. Setting aside whatever you or I might think of Donald Trump, he is not the answer to America's problems. The church in America needs to get on its knees. But let's not point fingers. because Christians here are often just as busy bemoaning Justin Trudeau and saying, if we just had a different prime minister, then revival would be happening in Canada too. Folks, don't get me wrong. I do believe that as citizens of Canada, we need to be involved in making our voice heard. We need to be involved in voting. We need to be engaged with the issues of our day. But politics will not turn our nation around. I believe that God is calling his church back to prayer, back to him. The government is not the conscience of our nation. The church is the conscience of our nation. So let's stop waiting for the right political conditions or the right economic conditions or the right circumstances. Really, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We, as the Church of Jesus Christ in Canada, we need to dig in because we are the answer through Christ. He gave us the job to see our nation changed. It starts with us. Revivals throughout history have not been top down, they have been bottom up. They've been grassroots. They've been a sweeping of wildfires across the nation of people like you and I who just want more of Jesus and are willing to do anything for more of Jesus, to pursue him. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. National revival will only come from personal revival. National revival will only come from personal revival. The only way that our nation, our city, will experience revival is if you get revived. So if I were to ask you today, are you as passionate for Christ as you once were? Are you as bold as you once were? Are you as bold as you know you are called to be? Does your life revolve around what Christ has asked you to do, or does it revolve around the television schedule? I'm preaching to myself as much as you today. But, folks, we need to come alive. If we are living in revival, then boredom should not be an issue. Boredom is a plague of the Canadian church. People are attending church meetings and bored. That should not be. Should not be. The life of Christ is a life of adventure, of living on the edge of a knife, of stepping out in faith and seeing what God's going to do today, what anticipating God's going to do something through my life everywhere I go today. It's a life of adventure, not a life of boredom. Do I go here? We have a lot of retirees in our church. And there's nothing wrong with being retired from your life of employment and enjoying the fruit of your labor. But there is no retirement from Jesus. Do you see your life as a long, slow decline to the seniors' home? Or do you see retirement as a chance to get refired and repurposed and to serve Jesus unencumbered by the daily grind? Right? I love it when I see seniors who are more in love with Jesus than they were 20 years ago. And there are many in this church that would be described that way, growing and impacting the world. But I want to challenge you today. Let your life be stirred up to all that God has for you. There is, for everyone in this room, I think it would be safe to say there is more for you. There is more for us. You are responsible for the level of your revival. You are responsible for the level of your revival. Not your government, not your family, not even your pastor and your church. You are responsible for the level of revival in your heart. Jude 17 to 21. Jude is just one short chapter. Verses 17 to 21. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Building yourself up in the most holy faith. We have a responsibility to stir up the fire. I'm going to do this one really quickly, because I know we are at a time. How do I do it quickly? Okay. In Leviticus 6, there's a whole bunch of instructions on the fire of the altar in the temple. And God gives very clear instruction to not let the fire go out, to tend it night and day and make sure that that fire does not go out. You can look it up later, because we're cruising through this quickly now. Why should the fire not go out? Because the fire originated from God, but it is tended by humans. This is true of the fire of God in your soul. It originates from God, but it is tended by you. God, only He can pour out His Spirit upon us, but we can tend our hearts and the fire of the Spirit that is there. And how do we do that? We need good fuel. We need good fuel. Our lives need to be surrendered, given over. They need to be good fuel. Really fast version. Secondly, we need to take the ashes away. Very specifically in Leviticus 6, God said, daily take the ash away so that the fire stays burning. There is residue, there is junk that builds up in our hearts that causes the fire to be stifled in our hearts for Christ. And we need to be keeping short accounts with Jesus and making sure that our hearts, the junk is cleaned out so that He can pour out His Spirit in a greater way, that His fire can be alive in us in a greater way. And lastly, don't get distracted. Build a bonfire and walk away to do a job and come back, and the bonfire might be out. Because bonfires need constant attention. It's one of my favorite jobs when I'm sitting around a bonfire, just always moving the wood, shuffling stuff around, flip it back over. You guys that are pyromaniacs, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? always playing with the fire. But it's important. You've got to keep playing with the fire. You've got to keep stirring it up. Because if you don't pay attention to it, it's going to go out. We don't pay attention to the fire in our hearts. It's going to go out. The distractions of this world will cause us to grow cold and die spiritually. Worship team, come on up, please. Let's stand. Our nation needs people who are willing to be burning ones for Christ. One of the prophecies that has come over and over again in Canada is the phrase burning ones. God is looking for burning ones. He's looking for people who are willing to let their life be engulfed in flame for Christ. To be alive with the fire of God in their, we need a fire in our bellies.